I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. As the Senate gets ready to take up the contentious issue of immigration, today on Midday, three perspectives on the immigration debate. First, journalist Jennifer Mendelsohn turns the tables on anti-immigrant lawmakers by publishing their own family's immigrant stories on Twitter at hashtag ResistanceGenealogy. Then, University of Maryland professor Perla Guerrero on her new book, Nuevo South, about immigrants and the remaking of place. She's studied the ways that Vietnamese, Cubans, and Mexicans have been racialized in the national dialogue and in local communities. Plus, Mary Elena Hincapié, the executive director of the National Immigration Law Center, on what's next for DACA, the wall, and the chances for a comprehensive immigration bill. Midday starts right after the news. And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this Monday edition of Midday. I hope you had a good weekend. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. The United States Senate is scheduled to take up immigration reform tonight. During budget negotiations that resulted in two brief government shutdowns, Senate Democrats extracted a promise from Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to begin debate on a fix for DACA and comprehensive reform of immigration policy. President Trump conjured up a deadline of March 5th for Congress to extend the DACA program, the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals that Mr. Trump ended last fall. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan has said that he, too, is committed to finding a fix for the 800,000 young people in the DACA program. But despite Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi's marathon speech on the House floor last week, Ryan has made no promise about bringing immigration legislation to a vote in the Congress. So today on Midday, three perspectives on immigration. A little later, Dr. Perla Guerrero from the University of Maryland College Park will talk about her new book, Nuevo South, Latinos, Asians, and the Remaking of Place, about what can happen when an influx of immigrants settles in places that had been almost entirely white. Plus, Maria Elena Hincapié, the executive director of the National Immigration Law Center, will give us her perspective on what's next for DACA and for immigration policy moving forward. But let's start with what my first guest calls the selective amnesia that is often at play in our national dialogue about immigration. The journalist Jennifer Mendelsohn has asked a basic question. Why do some political leaders who favor restrictive immigration policies speak derisively about immigrants when they themselves are, like everyone except for indigenous people, descendants of people who came to this country from somewhere else? Jennifer Mendelsohn started the hashtag ResistanceGenealogy project on Twitter, a persuasive way to remind anti-immigrant Washington types of their own immigrant past. Mendelsohn lives here in Baltimore. She's a former People magazine special correspondent and a columnist for Slate. Her work has also appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and in many other places. She's also an avid genealogist who serves on the board of the Jewish Genealogy Society of Maryland. Jennifer Mendelsohn, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. So tell folks, if they haven't checked it out yet, what you're trying to undertake with this hashtag genealogy.
Well, I feel like watching the debate royal over immigration, I've just been increasingly dismayed by how many sort of half-truths are being passed off in defense of these restrictive immigration policies. And we see immigrants repeatedly demonized. I was absolutely gobsmacked by the State of the Union address, and I thought Mara Liasson summed it up perfectly when she said the message is that immigrants are coming here to kill us. And that's not the story I know. I am the product of immigrants. Three of my grandparents were immigrants. My mother-in-law is an immigrant. I am surrounded by immigrants. And I just thought that the work that I do genealogically, which includes looking at the lives of immigrants and the historical record about immigrants, could be useful in providing some counterbalance.
The congressman from Iowa, Steve King, about a year ago in March of 17, said, quote, "You cannot rebuild civilization with somebody else's babies." And you looked into Mr. King's own family's immigrant history as a way of pointing out to Mr. King that he started as somebody else's baby at one time as well.
Right. Well, the important thing there is there was a word missing. He said, you can't rebuild our civilization. And I sort of heard that and thought, how do you define our exactly? We all come from somewhere else. For some of us, it's more recent. For some of us, it's further back. But immediately when I heard him say that, I just thought, what on earth are you talking about? At some point, we were all somebody else's babies. So I just thought, well, I know how to build people's family trees. So I just very quickly started working up his tree. And sure enough, his own grandmother came. She was 4 years old. She had two younger siblings, including a baby sister with her. They arrived steerage at Ellis Island in 1894. And there you have it. So again, how do you ask the question, how can we rebuild our civilization with someone else's babies, as if this question has never been asked before? That's what I object to. And sure enough, you know, I'm sure somebody looked askance at his German grandmother and said, why is this baby coming to our country?
How do you do this? What tools do you use? What documents, what data do you unearth to, for example, figure out what the family tree of Mr. King's family is?
Well, it's a combination of the journalistic skills I've used as a reporter for the last 25 years and the genealogical skills I've used as a genealogist for the last few years, and they sort of dovetail very nicely. Any journalist setting out to write a profile of Steve King, for example, would do some basic research and find out where he was born and what his parents' names are. I do the same thing, but then I take it one step further and I know how to do genealogical research. So I use a mix of free sites and pay sites to access census records, vital records. They're all publicly available. And I just start building a tree. And that will tell you somebody's grandparents. If people are immigrants, it will give you access often to their naturalization papers, their ships manifests. It's really not that difficult a process.
You write in a really terrific op-ed in the Los Angeles Times that was published on Saturday, and we'll link to it on the WYPR.org/midday website, that nativism is nothing new. You mentioned the very likely scenario that people complained about this German baby in Mr. King's lineage a couple of generations ago. This starts way back. I mean, you even quote Benjamin Franklin in the 1750s complaining about Germans coming and the danger that we won't be able to Anglify them. They're going to Germanize us. So there really is nothing new about this notion of fearing immigrants.
Not at all. And I feel like the project that I have started is really two-pronged. One is to humanize the immigrant stories and show that this is something that we all have in common, that this is something that I, as the granddaughter of immigrants, have in common with Dan Scavino, who is the great-grandson of immigrants. It's something that brings us all together. And the other piece is to point out that the historical record is pockmarked with people looking askance at immigrants, clutching their pearls that immigrants would never be able to assimilate into America. And as you say, this goes back to 1751. Benjamin Franklin wrote about his fears that the Germans in Pennsylvania would never learn to speak English. So I just feel like here we are in 2018 having the same exact conversation and pretending that it's something new, that we are worried that these new immigrants, they're so lazy, they take handouts. All of those things were said about the ancestors of the people who are saying it now. That's what I am trying to draw attention to.
You mentioned Dan Scavino, who's an advisor to the president in the White House. He sent out a tweet, I don't know how long ago. He said, it's time to end chain migration. The Democrats prefer to refer to that notion as family reunification, but the people who are in favor of restrictive immigration policies like to use this term chain migration. But you pointed out that Mr. Scavino is, in fact, the direct product of such a chain.
And the point there is not, you know, there may be legitimate policy points that need to be debated here. But what I really am objecting to, and the reason that I traced Dan Scavino's tree, was because of the use of the way that this concept has been demonized, that it's being made to sound like some scary, dark thing where immigrants drag all their associates across the border with them and they're all coming for insidious purposes to hurt us. The real name for chain migration is family reunification. It is legal. That's really important to remember. It is not a dark and insidious process. And what it does is allows immigrants, just as immigrants always have been able to do, to bring their immediate families to join them. There is nothing sinister about that. There is nothing dark about that. There is nothing illegal about that. So I just decided to recast it for people. And what better way to humanize the process and show people what chain migration really is, which is family reunification, than to use the personal example of the person who was attacking it. And sure enough, his family followed a very classic pattern. My family did the same exact thing. One person would come and establish themselves, get a job, start saving money, and pay for the others to join him. And that's exactly what Dan Scavino's great-grandfather did. He was part of a chain of brothers and sisters who came to this country to start their lives together.
Jennifer Mendelson is my guest. She's the creator of the hashtag Resistance Genealogy Project on Twitter. It's the first of three conversations we're having today on Midday about immigration. I'm Tom Hall. We're glad you're with us. You took on a person named Tomi Lahren, I think is how her name is pronounced. She's a sort of talking head type on the right who criticized Dreamers, and of course they're very much in the news on this very day, calling them they're not law-abiding citizens. This is a meme that we hear a lot, a sort of trope that we hear a lot from the president himself, along with many other people who, again, favor restrictive immigration policies, that these undocumented people are coming and committing all sorts of crimes. There's no data whatsoever to support that point of view, but that doesn't stop them from saying it. But your research isn't just sort of, you know, where people came from and what their name's from. You actually found some stuff about Ms. Lahren's own family having to do with law abiding.
I did. And I want to preface that by saying what I discovered was that her great-great-grandfather was indicted by a federal grand jury for falsifying his naturalization papers. He was acquitted at trial, but I did find the indictment and quoted from it. The important thing to remember, though, and I made this very clear when I wrote about this for Wonkette last fall, I didn't bring this to light to shame her or embarrass her or point a finger at her. What I am trying to show, again, is the universality of people coming from other countries and desperately wanting to be American. Some of those people may have cut corners. Again, what's going on is this sort of selective nostalgia where there's this hagiography about our ancestors that they did everything right and they learned English immediately and they never took handouts and they became perfect. That's just not true. I mean, the truth is always more complicated and messy than that. So again, these people who are standing and pointing fingers at people who now may be trying to cut corners in their quest to become American may not realize that they are the product of people who did very similar things a generation or two again. That's why I brought that story to light, because as I've said many times, people in genealogical glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And as Americans, we all are in genealogical glass houses because we all come from somewhere else. The very first people who called themselves Americans, other than the natives, of course, came from somewhere else. They came on ships. It is the driving narrative of our country. And I guess what I really am trying to do with this project is keep that front and center and not let the lies and the dissembling of this White House allow that to be shrouded.
And you point out that it's really a fairly recent phenomenon that immigrants are not thought of as industrious and thrifty and enterprising and creative and willing and able to take risks and capitalize on all that America has to offer. I mean, all of a sudden they are demonized. I mean, did that begin with Mr. Trump's presidential campaign, or do you see this as a something that has sort of gained steam over the last 10, 20 years?
Well, I can tell you that in doing research for this project, I found a great editorial from The Atlantic from 1896, which talks about how 30 or 50 years ago, all of the immigrants who came here were of the highest caliber and hardworking and represented the best of their respective nations. Unfortunately, now the exact opposite is true. And that was in 1896.
Yeah.
So there you have it, you know.
The future of immigration does very much, it seems to me, rely on basic veracity of facts when we're talking about the scope of the issue, and we're talking about solutions to problems that sometimes don't actually exist. We're talking about, you know, coming up with a wall that most people who actually study it say is going to have almost zero impact on the numbers of people coming across the border. This is certainly a great contribution to the conversation about truth and veracity in immigration. But you've gotten a great response to this. You've gotten a lot of followers, a lot of hits. Do you think that the ball is moving forward as this debate begins, finally, this latest iteration of the debate begins in the Senate today? What's your gut tell you about whether or not more people are really understanding what's real and what's made up in this conversation?
It's hard to say. I mean, I would love to think that this conversation that I have started might actually be able to move the needle. I'm not terribly optimistic that it will, seeing the level of lie-telling that we have seen coming out of this administration, which to me is like nothing else we've ever seen before. Their willingness to rely on quote-unquote alternative facts is terrifying. So here I am presenting facts from the historical record. Will they make a difference? I would love to think they could. I'm not terribly hopeful that they will.
All right. Well, folks, I strongly urge you to check out #ResistanceGenealogy on Twitter. Jennifer Mendelson is a Baltimore-based journalist who serves on the board of the Jewish Genealogical Society of, or Genealogy Society of Maryland. It's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
When we come back from a quick break, a conversation with University of Maryland professor Dr. Perla Guerrero about the importance of place to immigrants and to the communities to which they move when they come to America. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday here on your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.